This is Saturday Sport on RTE Radio 1.
It's a Saturday Sport of live World Cup qualifier action and live Test rugby, with a bit more in between.
We're at a crucial stage in the Republic of Ireland's qualifying campaign after a draw in Serbia and back-to-back victories over Georgia and Moldova.
Coleman inside the area at the byline, digs it across, McLean is there and McLean scores his second of the night, Ireland's third. James McLean on cue, arrives, scores. Moldova 1, Ireland 3.
Today Martin O'Neill's men are in Vienna. We have full commentary of the Republic of Ireland versus Austria, with Brian Kerr joining John Kenny in the commentary box. Stephen Elliott and Pat Fenlon are in studio for analysis.
And not long after we say goodnight, Vienna, it's straight over to the Aviva Stadium, where a new-look Joe Schmidt Ireland will look to follow up on that historic All Blacks triumph against Canada.
I think there's a real mix of threats that they have. You know, they've got some really robust lads that carry the ball well. They will be very competitive. I know Mark Anscombe pretty well, and he'll make sure that they're pretty combative.
Ireland against Canada kicks off at 7:15. Shane Byrne, Donal Lenihan and Hugo McNeil will make up our team. And we also have our usual Saturday Sport panel. This week, it's Lee Chin, Neil Horgan and Aoife Fitzgerald.
It's going to be busy. Text us on 51551 or on Twitter. It's at SatSportRTE or at SportsDes. We're with you all the way through until 10 o'clock tonight.
Given you brought up Davy Fitz, and we have Aoife beside you, who's obviously the Cork manager, and we have Neil, who Pat Dolan famously was one of your managers, and also Damien Richardson. So two legendary figures really within management in the League of Ireland. As a manager, I was reading, there was a brilliant piece that Dion Fanning did with you, Lee, on sportsshow.ie, and there was just one nearly off the cut comment he made about how Liam Dunn rang you after training one night to ask you why you didn't seem yourself at training. Is that normal for a manager to do something like that, or is like Liam always seems like such a passionate man? Is that something specific to him that he would notice that perhaps you weren't in great form or something like that?
Yeah, well, for someone like me, I think it'd be easy to notice because I'd always be a pretty upbeat kind of guy, especially in around training and stuff. And I think that's definitely one of the manager's jobs to create a relationship with players to notify these simple things. And I think Liam, to some extent, he did understand that with a lot of players, and especially with me. There was probably one or two nights I went training. I'd say it was more so before Christmas came around. This time of the year, I tend to get very down with the weather and the cold and the stuff from around training, and it's not easy to be in good form, I suppose, at times. But Liam definitely would have, I suppose, maybe on more than one occasion would have given me a phone call to ask, was everything okay?
It's very good of him to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
In fairness. Pat Dolan would arrive unannounced. That's how he'd deal with that, at your door, which could be a good or bad thing.
There was one you talked about, actually, about how you were out, there were a load of lads out for a session.
Yeah, he could arrive in anywhere. Pat had kind of information all around the city on what lads were doing. And we probably needed it at the time. He made us very professional, in fairness to him, and was very caring about guys. But I think, you know, even for a manager to do that, you know, in terms of mental health or whatever, just to keep an eye out is crucial, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. It's absolutely vital. Let you have a rapport with your players. And I mean, if the player's unhappy off the pitch, then that's going to be reflected on their performance on it. But I would say, going back, like, I deal in my job, I'm a teacher, but I deal with disadvantaged kids, and I have done for, say, 30 years. And I think we've seen a huge sea change over the last 20 years in terms of societal stuff. So, like, when I was young, the brothers, especially in school and the clergy, they played a huge part in terms of us developing our skills, and they spent an awful lot of time with us after school, and lay teachers as well, the same. But I think we've lost an awful lot of that. And I know the scandals in the church, and we won't go into that stuff now, and we had lots of that stuff, but there was an awful lot of good work done as well. I think we've lost that. And I think the government have a huge part to play, because I know for my own kids at work, the one thing that really, like, lots of that stuff has been replaced, and, you know, this people not going to mass and so on and so forth. We've replaced an awful lot of that with other stuff. And if you look at Christmas, now Christmas starts now, whereas long ago it started a week beforehand maybe. Halloween has become a big thing. So people do need that kind of spiritual thing, I believe, that, you know, in their lives, or something to look forward to. And I would see sport as being that, because I see with the kids I have at work, you know, if we're involved in maybe five-a-side competitions or whatever, the joy in their faces afterwards. And more importantly, I suppose, like for the normal kid, it's not too bad. Maybe they have their PlayStations and that, but lots of what I'd be dealing with, they're replacing the spirituality or whatever you want to call it with drugs and drink and all sorts of stuff. And there's an awful lot of tragedy going on, but sport links everything. You know, if you can get kids involved in sport at an early age and keep them involved, and that's where I think parents play a huge role. You know, and I know, and I'm a parent myself, and God, we're only learning as we go along every day. But if you look at children, like up to the age of 18, if you can keep them kind of on the straight and narrow until their late teens, generally they'll be okay. But it's when Mary comes in and tells Mammy at 14, oh, geez, they're all drinking, so I'm going out, or I'm going to a disco, or I'm going here and that. It's very difficult to say no, but I think we do have to take a little bit more responsibility. I'm probably more of a political speech than a sporting one, but I think they're all linked in together.
Yeah, as our sport, know, and politics, as we know too well.
Yeah. But I do think that an awful lot more resources, financial and otherwise, need to be put in to that kind of development, because if there's anything, and as I say, I'm going on 30-odd years' experience of it, if there's anything will bring joy to kids other than the stuff we've mentioned, it's sport. And it's so good in terms of building their confidence and, you know, raising the, for their parents even, that they see they're not getting the phone call from the school saying that, oh God, he's at it again, you know, that, you know, that he got two goals today or whatever. And, you know, if you accentuate the positive. And they don't all have to be legends, they don't all have to be great players. It's just that they're involved in something that they can value themselves and look in the mirror in the morning and say, listen, I did my best there yesterday and I can feel proud of myself, you know. So it's, and I suppose that's a huge learning experience for us all. But I think we're at a stage now in society where we do need, and it's not just financial, and it's not just the housing situation, it's not, you know, there's a whole range of things. But for younger kids, get them involved in sport and he'll keep them out of an awful lot of trouble.
And we also saw how it can lift the country as well with the events that have happened in the last few weeks as well. Plenty more. That was Aoife Fitzgerald we're listening to with Lee Chin and Neil Horgan as well. The latest from the rugby is early stages in the second half.
Tweet at SatSportRTE. Saturday Sport on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back to Saturday Sport. Would you have a look at what's wandered into the building here beside me? All peace is over.
Yeah, we were just remarking on the physique of Lee Chin. We decided he has my shoulders and Joanne's waist.
I wish I had that waist.
if he could play in that. I'm watching England and South Africa and it was so physical. There's huge men that are battering each other. But anyway, we'll have the rugby coming up later. We're going to Austria now. Brian Kerr is joining us. Hello, Brian.
How are you, Des? How's it going?
Good, thank you. Good. How's Vienna?
Chilly. But not so bad in the stadium. Very, very cold outside. No snow, as I told Joanne earlier. Lots of talk was going to be 20 centimetres of snow this morning, but it didn't arrive. Lots of rain last night. Very, very cold. All the fans very well dressed up, lots of hats and scarves and padded jackets and extra hats on top of hats and all that, you know. But stadium's nice, it's nice and closed in. There's most, every seat is well covered, and you know, most seats are well back from the pitch, big track around the pitch. It's, you seem like you're kind of miles away from the pitch, but it's still very atmospheric when it gets going. I've been here before a couple of times, obviously 3 years ago we were beating 1-0 with Alaba's late goal, but to be a fair atmosphere, huge Irish crowd, I think, here back on the road again. I think not so many went to Serbia, Moldova, but they've come here in big numbers.
Do you know what? He concerned me a little earlier when he said that because it was so cold, he was going to be fully clothed.
As I see from how he's normally not clothed when he's doing commentary. Brian, I was actually looking up Ernst Happel because the stadium was named after him. And he won a league in four different countries, which is very unique, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's been a few fellas. I think Marino might have done that, but there's not many. Trapattoni, I think, did it as well. Yeah, not me. It's a fair record. Great manager, and very fitting that he has a stadium named after. From what I noticed yesterday, I come up and had a walk around the stadium yesterday, the outside of it, the full way round, and lots of different clubs from this area seem to have a part of the stadium where they have their offices and training centre based here. And the pitches are in very good nick. Rapid Vienna's is there. There's a futsal club, a couple of athletics clubs as well. And they all seem to have been given a portion of the stadium, and their names and their colours are up on the outside. I just thought that was really interesting, where the stadium is positioned out on the edge of town, on the edge of huge big parkland, but there's train stations beside it. The hotels are not far away where we're staying, and it's just interesting. But it's very fitting tribute to Aaron Tappel.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into the team then that Martin O'Neill has named. What do you make of it?
Well, I think I told Joanne earlier that was the team I was picking, and she laughed and said, "You're not picking the team anymore. You had your go 12 years ago or something." You know,
you would never say such a thing.
No, I think that was the team a lot of people were thinking might be the selection given the trend.
This is Saturday Sport on RTE Radio 1.
So then, Dundalk's Daryl Horgan is on the bench in Austria. Andy Boyle, not in the starting 22. But the last League of Ireland player to feature in a competitive international for Ireland was the great Pat Byrne, a leading light in the Shamrock Rovers 4-in-a-row side of the 80s. Byrne won 8 caps and came on as sub after half an hour in the World Cup qualifier against Denmark in November 1985. That was Ireland's final game of the campaign. And by that stage, qualification for Mexico in 86 was out of reach. Ireland lost 4-1 at Lansdowne Road in a match which also marked the end of Owen Rain's hand as Ireland manager. Well, Adrian Eames has been chatting to Pat Byrne about that day and the inclusion of Boyle and Horgan in the current Irish squad.
The Republic won only one of its 9 games in 1985. By the time Denmark came to Lansdowne Road last month, the World Cup dreams lay in ruins.
It was a bleak day, yeah, it was a dreadful day. The pitch was dreadful. And we some a fantastic side, and we scored early on and said, "Jesus, this is great," you know. But they scored kind of soon after, and they gave us a bit of a lesson, you know, for the rest of the game, really. Decent side as well.
Once again, the thought of what might have been. Owen Hand resigned after 5 years in charge, and Denmark showed just how the modern game is played with some superb goals.
It was unfortunate because, as I said, we had a fantastic side, and if we had just kind of qualified or won that game, it would have been, you know, would have been great, especially for Owen Hand as well, who had been a great servant to the game. And I think that was his last game that day, you know.
You mentioned the team, some great names in it, the likes of Kevin Moran, Paul McGrath was there, Liam Brady, Jim Beglin, Seamus McDonough in goal.
Yeah, what a side. I mean, see, if you'd have them now, you'd be glad to have them on any side.
Lost 4-1, but made a very good start in the game. Frank Stapleton with a bullet of a header early on.
Yeah, great goal. And as I said, we were buzzing then, and I thought this is going to be great. But as you know, the way football is, that it can change very, very quickly, and it did on that day.
Good run this by the number 2. Moran goes to intercept. Beglin goes as well. That's a brilliant goal by John Sivavik, the fullback. Elker is pulling in to make contact. Here's Berggren. Elker.
Yes, Denmark will definitely have to be one of the teams to watch in Mexico.
You came on as a sub in place of Tony Grealish, but you're the last man to play for a League of Ireland club, to play a competitive game for Ireland. So there's a bit of history there for you.
That was great to achieve that, you know. But like, I just hope, you know, for more players in League of Ireland, that is possible. It is most definitely possible. It hasn't happened, as you said, for a while, probably about 100 years. But but it is. It should change pretty quickly.
Of course, the city of music and culture. The flags are being waved by the Austrian supporters in this 51,000-seater Ernst Happel Stadium. There is a couple of thousand Republic of Ireland supporters away to our right-hand side. Weiler can come forward now. Plays it in field to Wes Hoolan, all alone, screaming for his McLean on the far side. McLean's got a chance. He's inside the penalty area. McLean with a shot and scores! Breakout play from the Republic of Ireland after 47 minutes. And McLean scored 2 goals against Moldova, and he's got his 3rd in the last 2. McLean with the goal for the Republic of Ireland. It's Austria 0, Republic of Ireland 1. Tonight, the Republic of Ireland's players go to celebrate with the Irish supporters who have stayed here in numbers to celebrate with the players. A brilliant victory. A draw, we said, would be a terrific result. A win, absolutely fabulous. Here in Vienna, Des, it's finished. Austria 0, the Republic of Ireland 1.
I think obviously them two teams will be looking at this result today. We're probably thinking the pressure's on them now to go out themselves and get result. It's just added pressure to both of them to go out and win the game. So we might see a little bit more open game now than what we would have seen if this had to finish as a draw.
All right, then. Well, let's get reaction then from the Republic of Ireland captain, Seamus Coleman.
Seamus, congratulations. You know, that's the first time we've beaten Austria in Vienna. It puts us top of the table tonight.
Yeah, brilliant. massive 3 points. I say it all the time. When I come out of this group of lads, it's a privilege. We know we're going to leave it out there. We run it up a few times, but the likes of Johnny Walters up top, James McLean, his back's hanging off, and he put in a performance like that. David Myler's been waiting for a chance, and he was different class.
Tonight here at a Chile Aviva Stadium, it's all about the future. Hugo McNeil is going to be watching Ireland versus Canada with me. Hugo, when you think about the fact that we had that historic win last week, there are 15 changes this evening, and you look at the team and the quality of it, does it fill you with hope for what lies ahead in the next few years?
Yeah, I think there's a great buzz and there's some really good players there, and I think there's just such a great excitement now around rugby given what's happened last week in Chicago, which was wonderful. I was coming in on the train in the dark this afternoon, so many children, so many young people all talking about them, and everybody wanted to...
Billy Holland there, who got us that one. Billy Holland, the 1,082nd person to wear the green of Ireland. As Ireland now are down low, trying to shunt Canada back now. They have control of it here now. Canada disrupting. Ireland in possession. Back with Marmion on a sniping run. On the near side of the pitch, it's Keith Earls who's got the try. 5.5 minutes gone. The Aviva Stadium has erupted. Earls with the try. He scored after 2 minutes in Thomond Park. I suppose it's the Dublin air. Another 3.5. 5 minutes, 30 seconds gone. James Tracy, Ireland out scoring Canada by 8-3, and it's Ireland who have beaten Canada here at the Aviva Stadium by 52-21.
Michael Corcoran and Shane Byrne, thank you very much for that. Hugo McNeil is still with me, and Donal Lenehan will be with us very, very shortly. There were some hairy moments, there's no doubt about that, but you can hardly argue with that stat that we've heard Michael say. 8 tries, Hugo.
No, it was a very good performance by the Irish team, especially in the second half. They came out and they had the same adventure that they had in the first half, but they had a shape and structure with it.
Good news to finish in. There's been great news all day, really, on Saturday Sport. But Mark Downey in cycling has won the gold medal in the men's point race at the UCI Track Cycling World Cup. So a great victory for the Bandridge man, Mark Downey. Irish rugby team finishing with a win. The Irish soccer team with that fantastic win and going 2 points clear at the top of our World Cup group. It brings to an end a programme that's been on since 2:45 here on Radio 1. So thanks very much to Cara O'Hare and Pather Carney who were on sound today. Our production team, Valerie Kane and Kevin McNamara. And the programme was produced mightily for a long, long day by John Farrell and Adrian Eames. We'll be back with you next Saturday. Until then, let's reflect on some of the great moments for the Irish teams today.
Before we kick off, Brian, what do you think would be a good result tonight?
Well, I think a draw would be a very good result. Obviously, it would be an excellent result. As lads were saying earlier, I think it would be a very difficult road for Austria from here if we beat them tonight. And they're stuck in 4 points. For us, a win would be sensational.
Myler can come forward now. Plays it infield to Wes Hoolan, all alone, screaming for his McLean on the far side. McLean's got a chance, he's inside the penalty area. McLean with a jump and scores! Breakout play from the Republic of Ireland after 47 minutes. And McLean scored 2 goals against Moldova, and he's got his third in the last two. McLean with the goal for the Republic of Ireland. It's Austria 0, Republic of Ireland 1. Alaba goes scuttling down the left-hand side, challenged by Coleman, holds him off, places the back post to Baumgartlinger, and the header by Yanko was wide. What a chance that was, too, to make it 1-1. And he's had a terrible game, Marco Yanko.
I think that'll be full-time, and that's it.
That's it. The referee blows the final whistle. The Republic of Ireland have kept a clean sheet in only one of their last 11 away World Cup qualifiers. A 0-0 draw in Sweden in March of 2013. They've done it tonight, but they've also scored. 47 minutes, James McLean with his fourth international goal thumped the ball to the back of the net. A famous win here.
The manager's put the onus on me.
they chip on me a few more goals. And first and foremost, it was great play by David Myler, who I thought deserved a man of the match, but I'll not complain. So he's done great. They won the ball, played the ways, and Doc Anu went West got the ball. If I make the right run, he's going to find me. And then it was just about, you know, making sure I had the target. You know, Roy hammers us all week in training about hitting the target, and you know, went through the keeper's leg. So I'm delighted. It's three big points, and long may they continue.